Shalom, Saints, and thank you for joining us for our Searching the Scriptures episode. Each Thursday, we gather with the expectation that Jehovah is going to meet with us here. And so I want you to grab something to write with, grab something to write on, and of course, grab your Bible and prepare yourself for some inspirational teachings, quotes you can use, and of course, the truth that set men free. So stay tuned for Searching the Scriptures. Shalom, saints. The last thing Yeshua said to his disciples before he ascended was, "Go and make disciples of all nations." This command is known as the Great Commission. Our ministries have taken this commission very seriously and developed a discipleship training program that will change the way discipleship has been done up to now. Most discipleship training programs are denominational in their approach and is doing exactly what the Pharisees and Sadducees did in the days of Yeshua. Yeshua said, "You search the world over to find one proselyte, and you make them twice the son of hell as they were before you found them." The vision of Arthur Bailey Ministries and House of Israel is to be a worshiping people, an evangelistic community, a discipleship center, an equipping network, and a worldwide witness for Yeshua, the Messiah. In fulfillment of the Great Commission, we've developed Discipleship101.tv. Discipleship101.tv is a 2-year seminary-level discipleship training program that takes a messianic Hebrew roots approach to the scriptures. Now that we've completed this program, we are making it available to people around the world for free. We now have the opportunity to get it into every federal and state prison library and libraries around the nation. We also have the potential for getting this program accredited in universities and Bible colleges around the country. Now here's where we need your help. We need you to stand with us at the $1,500 level to help us get these workbooks printed and DVDs printed and duplicated in order to get them placed in prison libraries around the nation. For your help, we want to bless you with all of the workbooks and DVDs for each class as a thank you for helping us get this valuable information out. For your partnership, you will get all 8 workbooks and all of the DVDs by partnering with us today at the $1,500 level. Thank you in advance for helping us get this valuable, extensive, messianic Hebrews discipleship training program to the nations of the world. By doing so, we're doing exactly what Yeshua said to do when he commissioned us to make disciples of the nation. Join us in this most important mission of making disciples of the nation by partnering with us today at the $1,500 level. You can partner with us at this level by sending your partnership check or money order to House of Israel. If you would like to pledge your partnership with us and make payments, please do so on our website at www.arthurbaileyministries.com. Just let us know you would like to make a pledge and make payments. Please help us get this material published so it can be placed in prison libraries and libraries around the nation. Partner with us today at the $1,500 level. Thank you. Shalom, I'm Arthur Bailey, Chancellor of the accredited Hebrew Roots University. Hebrew Roots University is the world's first and only accredited theological university that approaches scripture from a messianic Hebrew Roots perspective. I'm excited to inform you that Hebrew Roots University is open for admission. Please check out our newly designed innovative website at HebrewRootsUniversity.com. At Hebrew Roots University, you can earn an accredited associate's, bachelor's, master's, and doctorate degree in several disciplines. We have kept our website design simple, making it easy to navigate to what really matters, and that is our degree courses. Please take a moment and peruse through the pages of our website at HebrewRootsUniversity.com. When you're ready to take the first step on this exciting educational theological journey, simply click the Apply Now button and follow the instructions. If you have any questions at any time during the application process, please do not hesitate to reach out to our admissions team using the Got Questions section at the bottom of our website. We look forward to walking with you on this exciting journey. So check us out now at HebrewRootsUniversity.com. That's HebrewRootsUniversity.com. Shalom.
House of Israel International Services are held weekly at 3601 Rose Lake Drive, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28217, 11 a.m. Saturday mornings and 7 p.m. Thursday evenings, Eastern Time. This live broadcast is made possible through financial contributions from brothers and sisters like you. Your financial support is greatly appreciated. Thank you. Motivating. Inspiring, challenging, encouraging, deepening, strengthening, and enhancing your faith. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to House of Israel International's live worship service.
Well, shalom, saints. Welcome to our Thursday's Searching the Scriptures. Today, we are looking at Leviticus chapter 25, verse 1 through 55. We're not going to get through all of this today. I'm looking at this as tonight, part 1. I'm hoping to get to a certain point, and then hopefully we'll be able to cover part 2 without having to go into part 3 next week, Father willing. And so for those of you who are joining in with us tonight, we want to certainly welcome you those of you who are joining us online. And we encourage you, if you would take a moment, if you're on our website there, to subscribe to our website right there on the watch page. You'll see right above the screen where you can subscribe. And of course, if you're on YouTube, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you're there on Facebook, following us on either of our Facebook channels or pages, then we certainly encourage you to subscribe and follow us on Facebook and, of course, our social media networks. And while you're there, please take a moment, like and share the video. Invite others to join in with us tonight. Tonight, we'll be we're going to get into the seventh year, but we're also going to touch on the Jubilee year. And we're not going to go deep into that, but we're gonna jump on the first few verses and deal with some of the year of Jubilee. At the end of the teaching, you'll be given an opportunity to ask questions. And, of course, you'll be given an opportunity to receive prayer and to give. And so if you have questions that are generated from tonight's teaching, please take a moment, write them down while you are thinking on them. And if it's in line with the teaching, we're certainly going to try to answer those questions tonight. The vision of House of Israel is to be a worshiping people, an evangelistic community, a discipleship center, an equipping network, and a worldwide witness for Yeshua the Messiah. Our declaration for Jehovah's blessings: I declare this is my season for peace, power, promises, and prosperity. I declare the peace of Jehovah in my life and in my body. I declare the power of Jehovah to manifest fully in my life. I declare the promises of Jehovah fulfilled in my life. I declare the prosperity of Jehovah to permeate every area of my life. And I declare I will walk in obedience to Jehovah every day of my life. Father, we just thank you so much for this time together with you and with one another. We pray your presence manifest in the midst of us, as it is our hope and desire as to when we gather that you join in with us. And so we certainly acknowledge your presence in this place today. Open our eyes, give us eyes to see, give us ears to hear, give us the ability to comprehend as we delve into a subject matter, trying to understand and figure out how it is applicable to us here in the land we live and for those who are joining with us where they live. We pray, Father, that you'll make clear the lesson today, that you will help us to articulate, help me to communicate, help us to glean your truths and show us how to implement them, how to apply them in our lives in Messiah. Forgive us of our transgressions. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness, create in us clean hearts and renew the right spirit in us. We decree in the name of Yeshua that no weapons formed against us shall prosper. And for your perfect will, your perfect plan to unveil itself and to unfold in the midst of us here tonight. For we know that this day was ordained before the foundation of the world, and all that you have ordained for us to receive this day, Father, we pray that all of it manifest, that we receive it, and again show us how to apply it, that which you reveal to us in our lives today. We pray your blessings upon each person gathered here, those who are joining us via the internet, those who will watch this teaching at a later date. We pray for your healing power, your delivering power, and that you will meet every single need among us today. We pray for healing in the homes, healing in the families, healing in relationships, deliverance from everything, Father, that beset your people or cause them to venture off course. We pray your hedge of protection around every husband, every wife, every son, every daughter, every family, every individual. Show yourself mighty in the midst of them. Be glorified in us. Let your kingdom come and your will be done in Messiah. Amen. So again, we're talking about the Sabbath year and the year of Jubilee. This is part one of Leviticus chapter 25, and there's 55 verses. As I said, we're not going to get all of these verses covered tonight, but we're going to get a nice little chunk. The Sabbath day was made for man on the seventh day of creation. The Sabbath day is Jehovah's gift to man and to all his creation, including the land. And we're going to see that tonight. Now, we've touched on the year that the land rests, and we taught that message. We called it, well, actually it's called in the Bible, the Shemitah, the year of release. And so we've got this DVD teaching on Shemitah, and we're going to cover much of what's in this DVD tonight. And of course, as we look at it, you're going to see that there are things that Father communicate in certain parts of the Bible here in the Torah. And then later on, he kind of gives a little bit more information as to how these things are to be applied. And of course, in this particular teaching, we're going to look back into Exodus here in Leviticus, and we're going to look ahead in Deuteronomy, because all of those chapters address this particular issue of Shemitah in part. And so we're going to look at it in hopefully as a whole. The Sabbath day is the gift that keeps on giving. And when it comes to Leviticus 23, we examine the seven additional Sabbath days besides the seventh day weekly Sabbath. And in this portion of Leviticus, we're going to explore the gift of the Sabbath year and the year of Jubilee. And so in Leviticus chapter 25, verse 1, and the Lord, Jehovah, spoke unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying. And so here in Leviticus chapter 25, we see that he's communicating to Moses in Mount Sinai, and he's going to talk to him about what is going to happen actually 40 years from then, because the children of Israel would not enter into the land, but he's going to speak to them about when they enter into the land, how they are to conduct themselves and how they are to deal with the land. And so this would be considered land laws. In verse 2, he says, speak unto the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto Jehovah. Now, I can tell you right off the bat that some will say, well, you know, this only applies to the land if you're in the land of Israel. The thing that I look at here is, which I give you. And many of us, we confess when Father blesses us with certain things that we declare that this is something that it is a gift from Jehovah. And so a person can say, okay, well, we're only going to deal with this law if we're in the land. But as we're going to see in this particular passage, there's some blessings that come along with these particular commands that I believe is applicable to us today, no matter where our land is, if we adhere to those commands. And so he says, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. And so who is the land keeping a Sabbath to? Unto the Lord. Now, the tendency is that people who own the land think that the land belongs to them. And we're going to see here in this particular passage that the Most High is going to remind Israel that the land belongs to him. We know, according to Psalms 24, the earth is his, the fullness thereof, they and all that dwell therein. So no matter where you live, the land you live on belongs to him. The whole earth belongs to him. And I believe that if we apply his commands, his instructions, wherever we are, then we can lay claim to the blessings that come along or go along with those instructions. 6 years you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather in the fruit thereof. Now, there are some words that is in these verses that it's going to be important for us to look at. Otherwise, we can get the wrong understanding, especially if we try to apply English translate or definitions. Thank you, Jonathan. English definitions to these Hebrew words. Here in Leviticus 25, Moses is given further instructions to what was introduced in Exodus 23. And so looking back in the Exodus 23, verse 10, it says, in 6 years you shall sow your land, and you shall gather in the fruits thereof. In verse 11, but the seventh year thou shalt let it rest and lie still, that the poor of thy people may eat, and what they leave the beasts of the field shall eat. In like manner thou shalt deal with thy vineyard and with thy olive yard. Now, what I have found, especially dealing with Messianic Hebrews people, is sometimes they will see a verse, a passage, a command, and they'll leave it off there. For instance, when you look at Exodus chapter 20, where it talks about the Sabbath, it says, you, your son, your daughters, your handmaidens, your male servants, no one is to work, not even the animals. And from Exodus chapter 20, it seems that the command is keep the day holy and rest. Now, in Leviticus 23, he gives us more instructions on that particular instruction where he says, now there's a holy convocation involved. If I stick with the seventh day command in Exodus chapter number 20, then the holy convocation is not associated with the Sabbath. And so many in the Messianic Hebrew roots believe that they are keeping the Sabbath holy without having to assemble and have a holy convocation. They make a big deal out of the pilgrimage feast or the annual feast that it is required that individuals gather, not recognizing that it is required that every Sabbath day is a holy convocation, just as those seven annual Sabbaths are holy convocations, three of those feasts that require a pilgrimage to the place that the Almighty would place his name. And so in Exodus 23, again, we are introduced to the Shemitah. In verse 4, Leviticus 25 says, but in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land. But then notice what it says, a Sabbath for Jehovah. It's a Sabbath for Jehovah. And he emphasizes this because people can say, well, you know, this is my Sabbath. That's fine. You can have whatever Sabbath you want. But there are his Sabbaths, you see. And so if you want to choose a day to you know, have a Sabbath day, that is certainly your prerogative. But when he has designated his Sabbath, then, you know, if you have your own Sabbath, that means you have two Sabbaths in the week, yours and his. Many put emphasis on their Sabbaths, but the Sabbath of Jehovah is unto him. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. That which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest, thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of thy vine undressed, for it is a year of rest unto the Lord, unto the land. Now, if you look at this particular verse, what does it say? It says, one, you can't reap. Now, some people would look at that and says, well, if you can't reap, you can't eat. But that's not what it's saying here. Neither gather. Well, how else are we going to get them if we don't gather? And the grapes of thy vine undressed. So I bold these words out, indicating that we're going to take a look at them. So he says, one, you are not to, where are we? There we go.
Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard, that which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest. Of thy harvest thou shalt not reap. Now, the word harvest here is, you know, it deals with harvesting a crop, bringing the whole crop in. And that's harvest time. And what he's saying is that you don't bring the whole crop in because, one, there is nothing that you sowed. However, because of everything that Father creates, the seed is in it. So it's going to reproduce on its own. And therefore, even though it is a rest for the land, what it produced was not sown by the individual, but it is producing food anyway because of the seed that was in it. However, you can't go out there and harvest the whole field, is what he's saying. Neither can you reap. In other words, what he's saying here is that you're not now to go and take everything from the ground. You don't reap the harvest. However, instructions that he's going to give is that you can eat from that which grows. The stranger, the sojourner, the animal, the servants, everybody can eat from it, but you don't go out there and reap the harvest. You don't gather. And this is an interesting a word here because it deals with grape gatherers. You know, this is how I see this particular word being addressed. And it's used, this word is used three times, or grape gatherers or grape gathering for batzar is used three times in the Old Testament. And what it involves, because it's saying here in this particular verse that you are not to gather the grapes. So it's specifically dealing with grapes. You're neither to gather the grapes of thy vine undressed. Now, this undressed here, one, the reason you aren't to gather the grapes of the vine undressed is because this word, which I don't have here, undressed, is the same word that you would get for a Nazirite. That word undressed, if you look it up from the Hebrew perspective, it is like a Nazirite, which means, you know, the Nazirite is not to cut his head, it's not to shave or any of that, but the harvest here, or the grapes undressed, is indicating that this particular year, those particular grapes are set apart. They are set apart. They are holy. And therefore, because they are holy, you are not to go out and gather them. Now, you can eat from them, but you can't gather them, as in reaping or harvesting. Verse 6, and the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you. Now, this is interesting. The Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, for your servant and for your maid and for your hired servant and for the stranger that sojourn with thee. And here, this particular Sabbath, even though it's Shabbat, there is one meaning within the meanings that produce in the Sabbath year. Now, it's the same word for the weekly Sabbath. It's the same word for the Sabbath of the feast. But in this particular word, it also means that whatever the produce is for that year is a Sabbath year produce. So it referenced the Sabbath year and the produce of the Sabbath year. And for thy cattle, verse 7, and for the beasts that are in the land, shall all the increase thereof be meat. The interesting thing about this is that as we begin to look at how Father instructed the people, Father intended that everybody would be cared for, everybody would be taken, looked out for, if people follow his instructions. no one would lack. And if people followed his instructions, there are guaranteed blessings that he guaranteed. Not the man, not the government, no one else. And the tendency is for one to think that they know better than the Most High, because individuals who violate his commands have determined within their heart by their action that they know better than the one who gave those instructions. That they're smarter, they're wiser. But they don't realize that within his command, there are both blessings for obeying them and curses for disobeying them. When people disobey them, the curse side of the blessing or the command is what they now reap. In addition to the land resting, debts are released as more instructions about the Sabbath year is given in Deuteronomy 15. So in Exodus chapter number 23, we see where he introduces the Sabbath year. But in Leviticus chapter 25 and Exodus chapter 23, he doesn't deal with the releasing of the debt. And so if you look at Exodus 23 and look at Leviticus 25, and that's as far as you go, then what you would come away with is that the Sabbath year is a year the land rests. That's it. This is where, again, the whole council. So at the end of that seventh year period, there was to be a cancellation of debt. Well, that's not in Leviticus 25. And this, called in the Hebrew tongue, is Shemitah, which means the year of release. And we find that in Deuteronomy 15. At the end of every 7 years, now this is the Sabbath year. This is the Sabbath year that is 7 years. Now the interesting thing about the 7 years is that within those 7 years is 2 third year tithes. And we dealt with that in the third year tithe teaching. So the first, second, and third year, that's a third year tithe. And then the fourth, fifth, and sixth year, that's another third year tithe. The seventh year is the year of debt cancellation. And then the Jubilee is 7 times 7 Sabbath years, which would be 49 plus the 50th year, so that means that there will be 2 back-to-back Sabbath years. And Father has made provisions. Now, in the logical mind, let me just tell you where I'm at right now. Because right now we're in the Sabbath year. And I'm patiently waiting for the Sabbath year to end. Because I got some plans. And I have to tell you that the temptation, because of the plans that I have, is to get ahead, and I have to restrain myself for not getting ahead of going out, because I'm going to plant me an orchard this year. You see, that's what I want to do. And I've gathered stuff, and it's like, okay, well, you know, you got to wait. And I'm waiting. At the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release, Deuteronomy 15:1. Verse 2 says, and this is the manner of the release, every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called Jehovah's release. Now, it is not our release, it's Jehovah's release. It is the Lord's release. It's the Lord's Sabbath. It's the Lord's land. We belong to him. You know, people make the the statement, in him we live and breathe and have our very existence, and then act, live, and breathe apart from him as if we are our own Lord. And we have to be mindful of that, because I can tell you it is easy to do unless you are continually focusing on whose you are. Not only do we do that with ourselves, but the tendency is to do that with one another. When we recognize and discern the body, we recognize and discern that when we deal with each other, we're dealing with Jehovah's people. That I'm not mine, you're not yours, we all belong to him, and therefore we have to deal and respect one another as so. People can lay claim to their husbands, they can lay claim to their wives, they can lay claim to their children, they can lay claim to their own life. You know, that whole ideology is my life. You know, and when you go to these secular counselors, it's like, you know, it's your life. You have to think about you. You see, you come first. You put yourself first. And this is the way the world operates. And it's the way we were taught to operate until we come into the knowledge that he is the one who we should be looking for direction from, looking for guidance from, acknowledging and allowing him to lead, guide, and direct us. And it's difficult unless you commit yourself to it. And you can commit to it today, and then, like a dog returning to his vomit or a pig wallowing in the mire, you take your own life up tomorrow and live it like it's yours, you see. And the way you know you do that is you start your day off without acknowledging him. When you belong to him, when you recognize that you are his, then you don't start your day off without acknowledging him so that he can direct your path. So that he can. We have to be careful that we don't operate out of habit. Habits will get you killed. See, the enemy watches you, and you know the way these predators operate is they look at your habit patterns. You know, this is what the credit card companies and social media and the internet and all these bots and all these things, wherever you go electronically, they know where you've been. You go to a website, next thing you know, you start seeing all of the website information. You use your credit card, next thing you know, you start getting advertisements from certain people. So, you know, the enemy and those who want to sell you something or those who are trying to extract something from you, they see your mode of operation. And once they determine your mode of operation, they begin to set things in place to get what they want from you. So, it is Jehovah's release. The neighbor, of course, is an associate, a brother, a husband, a friend. Yeshua said, you know, when the disciple said, who is my neighbor? Who is my brother? Your brother is, of course, the ones who do the will of his father. And then he gave an illustration about the Samaritan. And Ark is a brother, an Aki or Ak. Verse 4 says in Deuteronomy 15, save when there shall be no poor among you. For Jehovah shall greatly bless thee in the land which Jehovah your God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it. Verse 5, Deuteronomy 15, only if thou carefully hearken unto the voice of Jehovah your God to observe to do all these commandments, which I command thee this day. And so he's saying, you know, be careful. Make sure you shema, do what is being commanded. For Jehovah your God bless you as he promised thee. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow. See, it's one thing for a person to say, you know, we are lenders and not borrowers. Well, there are some stipulations to operating in that realm. Because the only way you move into a place of being a lender and not a borrower is obeying his commandments. And you shall reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over you. If there be among you a poor man of one of your brethren within any of your gates in that land which Jehovah your God giveth thee, you shall not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother. But thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wants. Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, The seventh year, the year of release is at hand, and your eye being evil against your poor brother, and thou givest him naught, and he cry unto Jehovah against you, and it be a sin unto you. And he's saying, you know, because there's going to, listen, there are going to be people who are going to try to work the system. It doesn't matter what system that it is, whether it be a worldly system, a government system, any system, because there are people who are just not going to operate by the rules. And what they don't realize is that they're in that position because they're not operating by the rules. I remember when all this stimulus money began to come, and, you know, when COVID hit and the government is passing this $1.7 trillion, you know, COVID bill and just sending checks, billions and billions of dollars out, and people are applying for all that money. And next thing you know, now I was watching the news yesterday, a pastor and his son in handcuffs. You know, and I know that when they submitted those documents and got those approvals for all those that money, they were happy. They were excited. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was spending. A few years later, you know, here come whoever, the feds or whoever it was that came to their house and says, now, you know, it's time to pay the piper. The thing of it is that Father is giving them these instructions. Now, you got to understand something. Father is speaking to Moses and he's saying to him, look, 40 years from now, he ain't saying it like this, but this is basically what he say. 40 years from now, I'm going to take all of you all into the land, and I'm going to give every one of you sufficient land to work, and I'm going to prosper you, and therefore there will be no poor among you. Now he's saying the poor you're always going to have. Why? Because he's going to tell Moses, these people are not going to obey you. When you die, they're going off the deep end. They're not going to obey you. So he's giving them instructions about poverty long before he take them in the land and bless them and fulfill the covenant that he made to Abraham. Says he's going to give them houses they didn't build, vineyards they didn't plant, wells they didn't dig. He's going to give them the land of the enemy, and all they got to do is go in and work the land. And now he's talking about individuals who have not worked the land, who have little sleep, a little slumber. So he's speaking to them, knowing the people that he's working with, because he already told Moses, says, I know these people. I saw them before I went to get them. And we don't want to be that people. We want to be the people who hearken, because if you don't obey the commands, you don't see the blessings that come from obeying the commands. And this is why I think the church world is in such dire strait, and even individuals who are coming into the Messianic community who are not necessarily taking serious the commands that Father is giving us. So the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and thine eye be evil. So what he's saying here is that there are going to be people who are going to try to work the system. They might try to work the system. Maybe they won't, but maybe they will. And so the the point is that whether they're trying to work the system or not, don't you try to evade the command by dealing with people who are trying to work the system. So if somebody comes to you in the sixth year and they know that the seventh year is a year of release and they want to borrow money from you, and he's saying, you know, I know you know that the seventh year is the year of release, and now you're going to have to, you know, release that debt, and somebody is playing you and working you, and you're saying, you know what, I'm not going to lend this person any money because it's the year of release, and then I'm going to have to release that debt. And Father's saying, listen, I see your heart and I see their heart. Don't you allow what's in their heart to cause your heart to operate in disobedience. And basically, it works in a variety of ways, because it goes back to do as you would have others do. Do unto others, not the way they deal with you, but you deal with them the way I'm instructing you to deal with them. Thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him, because that for this thing Jehovah thy God shall bless you in all your works. If you do your part, he's going to bless you, even though they ain't doing their part. That's why they're begging. Now, I'm not trying to be mean. It's like, how do you get to a point to where you're begging when Father blessed you just like he, everybody that came out of Egypt started out on the same plane. There was no poor. They had their land. They had their houses. The promises of Jehovah was fulfilled in their life. And now we're dealing with the seventh year of release and then the year of Jubilee, where now, because whatever reason people lost their land, he's saying, okay, you squandered your resources. You didn't work the land like you were supposed to work it. It got sold. And now you're homeless. You done had to sell yourself. But guess what? 50 years from now, we're going to start you all over again. Hopefully you've learned from your past mistakes and you don't repeat them, because 50 years from now, you're going to be where you are today. This is what he's saying in all of this. And he's communicating it to all of Israel. So they're all hearing it, but they're not all going to apply it. He says in verse 11, for the poor shall never cease out of the land. Wait a minute, the poor shall never cease out of the land? They ain't poor yet. But he's giving these instructions before they get into the land, and there'll be those who will hear, and there'll be those who won't hear. And your job and my job is not to be the one who don't hear and not allow the ones who don't hear get into our spirit and cause us to be a people who now disobey the Almighty because of who we're dealing with. We don't justify our behavior because someone is trying to work the system against us. Our blessings is not coming from them. Our blessings come from Jehovah. So the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore, I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto your brother, to thy poor and to thy needy in thy land. And if thy brother, an Hebrew man or an Hebrew woman, be sold unto you and serve you 6 years, then in the seventh year you shall let him go free from you. But wait a minute, that's my sale. That's my servant. That's my slave. Why should I let him go? Because I said it. Jehovah says, in the seventh year, you let him go. Now, this seventh year would only apply if, you know, the seventh year would only apply in this particular case if the person became a servant in the first year. Because the Shemitah year is not so much the release of a servant as much as it is the release of debt. When it comes to the Jubilee, all slaves are to go free. But we'll get to that in a moment. And if your brother, a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, be sold unto thee and serve thee 6 years, then in the seventh year thou shalt let him go free from thee. And when thou sendest him out free from thee, thou shalt not let him go away empty. Thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flock and out of thy floor and out of thy winepress of that wherewith Jehovah thy God hath blessed thee, thou shalt give unto him. And thou shalt remember that thou was a bondman in the land of Egypt, and Jehovah your God redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this thing today. And it shall be if he say unto thee, I will not go away from thee because he loveth thee and thine house, because he is with thee or well with thee, then thou shalt take an awl and thrust it through his ear unto the door, and he shall be thy servant forever, and also unto thy maidservant thou shalt do likewise. And it shall not seem hard unto you when thou sendest him away free from thee, for he hath been worth a double hired servant to thee. Why? Because he served you 6 years. He served you 6 years. And Jehovah your God shall bless thee in all that you do. So who's going to bless you? Jehovah. When does the release take place? Well, we are in the latter part of the Shemitah. This is year 2022. And so this is a Shemitah year that we're in. And in the new year, then we are beyond. We go back to the first year of counting to the third year. And then, of course, that is the 2025. And then the second, third year is 2028, and then the next Shemitah is 2029. As if Jehovah tarries. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, so the debt is released at the Feast of Tabernacles. When all Israel is come to appear before Jehovah your God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear Jehovah your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children which have not known anything may hear and learn to fear Jehovah your God. As long as you live in the land, whether you go over Jordan to possess it. Now notice what he says. He says, and that gather the people together, men and women and children. Men, women, and children. Don't send the children to children's church. You gather together the men, the women, the children, and the stranger that is within your gate. Why? So that they may hear and that they may learn and fear Jehovah your God and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children which have not known anything may hear and learn to fear Jehovah as long as you live in the land, whether you go over Jordan to possess it. And you shall number seven Sabbaths, back to Leviticus 25, verse 8. And you shall number seven Sabbaths of years unto thee, seven times 7 years, and the space of the seven Sabbaths of years shall be unto you 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the seventh month. In the Day of Atonement shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. So what is he saying now? He's going into Jubilee. So in the Jubilee year, it is the Day of Trumpets, that the Jubilee, the Teruah, the blast of the shofar, is now announcing that you're in the Jubilee year. And in this year, slaves go free. The land goes back to its original owner. And of course, in the tabernacle is when the debt is released. So now you see that the Jubilee is associated, the announcing of the Jubilee is associated with the Day of Trumpets and the releasing of, the Day of Atonement, and the releasing of the dead is announced with the day of, in after Tabernacle. Trumpet here is shofar. a ram's horn. But interestingly, this particular word for jubilee is teruah. It's like the day of trumpets, but it's a shouting of joy. Well, why are they shouting for joy? Because this is a time, one, atonement, the sins of the nation has been atoned for, and the people's land is coming back to the family. There's a lot of jubilee going on. There's a lot of shouting for joy. There's a lot of rejoicing that is taking place because this is a joyous occasion. It's a joyous time, and people are demonstrating it by their shouting and celebration. Jubilee as teruah is used only once in this chapter. Now, in the other 14 times that we see this word jubilee, it has a different Hebrew word. On the Day of Atonement, when the sins of the nation has been atoned for, the people of the nation are set free from their sins, and their masters who bought them, and the land reverts back to the family. So slaves go free, the land reverts, and people are sins are forgiven as a nation for the year. The Jubilee year is announced throughout the land, so no Israelite is kept in bondage. When I saw this, you know, for those of you who are familiar with, there's a term called Juneteenth, and you probably know the history behind that, to where when slavery was abolished in the United States, there were people in parts of Texas that the word didn't get out to them. And so they remain in slavery until much later, where the word finally got to them. And now that's the reason why the celebration for Juneteenth. But the way Father arranged how this is to be taken, to where the shofar blast, this particular teruah, this particular shouting is going to be done throughout the land, and everybody is to be aware of it, every nook and cranny. Verse 10 says, and you shall hallow. Now, everybody who is observing his command, regardless to where they are, they are now looking at this year as a hallowed year. It's a holy year. And this year is where the proclamation of liberty, freedom, throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. Now, it says all the inhabitants thereof, but we're going to see that this is related to specific individuals, not all of the inhabitants, because some of the inhabitants are aliens and foreigners, which are not released, as we'll see as we go forward. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man unto his possession. Now here it says, it's not specifically saying you're returning every Israelite man or every sojourner or stranger that is joined with you. It gives the impression that everybody is going to go free. But if you keep reading, you'll find out that this doesn't pertain to every person in the land. And you shall return every man unto his family. This jubilee is your bell, the ram's horn, the trumpet. Now, this is a sound that is coming from a ram's horn, which is the word for jubilee, and it's the same in the next 13 or 12 times this word is used. Every man is to be returned to his property and his family. Of course, we know similar instructions are given as the Sabbath year or Shemitah when it came down to the land resting, as we see every man is returned. A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. You shall not sow, neither reap. So this is in relationship to Shemitah. The land is to rest. You're not to sow, you're not to reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of thy vine undressed. So now what you're looking at, the seventh year, which is year 49, and then you're going into a Jubilee year. So 2 years now the land is resting. The 50th year is to be holy, and liberty or freedom is to be proclaimed. For it is the Jubilee, verse 12, it shall be holy unto you, and you shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. In the year of this Jubilee, you shall return every man unto his possession. Now understand that the strangers, the foreigners, and the sojourners were not allotted land. They were allowed to live in the land, and if they joined themselves with Israel, then if they married a Israelite, whether it be a male or female, then they would become part of the Israelite community, but they weren't to have land because the land was only allotted to the tribal people, and that land would revert back to the family of that particular tribe within that tribal land. Verse 14, and if thou sell aught unto thy neighbor or buyest aught of thy neighbor's hand, you shall not oppress one another. Now, you know, here in America, they talk about buy low and sell high. Buy low and sell high. And Father says that don't work here. Whether you be the buyer or whether you be the seller, this is where equal weights and just weights and measures come in. Because what is happening is that the people are not buying the land, as we're going to see. They're actually buying the harvest. So they're going to buy land and work that land to produce its fruit. And this is where you'll find, you know, in business, that when people buy a business, they're not just buying, you know, the business. They're also buying the They're projecting how much this business make. You see, so when a company goes public, the valuation of that company is not based on what it is worth at this particular moment, but its potential worth over a period of time. And this is what people are buying. So depending on the number of years. So if they're buying land in the first year after the Jubilee, well, let's, according to the number of years, he says, after the Jubilee, thou shalt buy of thy neighbor, and according unto the number of years of the fruits, he shall sell unto thee. In other words, you're buying 49 years of harvest. Is what you're buying. Now, if you buy it halfway through the Jubilee, you're buying 25 years of harvest. And so the land's value is, you know, the land's value, but the land value is not what is calculated. What is calculated is what the land is capable of producing. And so, it says, according to the number of years after the Jubilee, thou shalt buy of thy neighbor, and according unto the number of years of the fruits, he shall sell unto thee. So the law applies whether you are the buyer or the seller. The land is not being bought or sold, but the years of harvest is what is being bought or sold. According to the multitude of years, verse 16, Leviticus 25, thou shalt increase the price thereof. And according to the fewness of years, thou shalt diminish the price thereof. For according to the number of the years of the fruits doth he sell unto you. You shall not therefore oppress one another, but thou shalt fear thy God, for I am Jehovah your Elohim. Wherefore you shall do my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and you shall dwell in the land safely. Now, here's where, you know, I told you the way Father taught me about tithing had to do with my love or my like or my at the time, my love for gangster movies, for mafia-type movies. And in those Al Capone-type movies, gangster movies, Godfather-type movies, you pay protection money. You know, somebody show up at your business and say, hey, you know, you in our territory, blah, blah, blah. We're going to make sure nobody bother you. We're going to make sure that everything works smoothly. We got the police. We got, you know, City Hall in our pocket. You're not going to have any issues, but this is what it's going to cost you. And you say, well, why should I pay you anything? Well, it's for your protection. Well, protection from who? Because the opposite is that if you don't pay, we your problem. But these are the services that we're providing you. And the way, you know, again, you know, Father deals with all of us differently where we are. And for me, it's like, okay, tithing is protection money. Well, what is he protecting? He's protecting the stuff that he's putting in my possession. If I don't tithe, then where is my protection? Then he sends the devourer. But he says, you know, when you bring the tithe, he's going to rebuke the devourer. Now, of course, we know that the devourer is not Satan. It's whatever it is that destroy crop or destroy your animals or whatever it is that is going to create a problem for you that is going to affect your livelihood. Some people think that their paycheck belongs to them, that their monies belong to them. Well, I work for it, it's mine. Well, yeah, you work for it, but who gave you the strength? And if you don't, it's amazing how people see accidents as accidents. People see breakdowns as breakdowns. People see loss and all these kinds of things as loss, and I see them in a sense of there being a hole in the money bag, because you're either gonna tithe and give offering, or your money is gonna dwindle away in some other area or some other way, you see. And it's strange how this whole supernatural, the supernatural impact and effect in the natural realm and how it's affected. And people will say to me, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. I said, okay, no problem. Ain't no fight, no argument. You do what you do. I'm going to do what I do. And, you know, we'll see who's Elohim is Elohim. But I try to encourage people that sometimes giving tenth may not seem feasible, because it's like you need every dime you have, and you do. But you also have to realize who is your provider. And sometimes, because he's not visible, it's hard for people to make that kind of connection. And then people question, well, why are you giving your money to the church? You're not giving your money to no church. You're not giving your money to no individual. You're tithing unto Jehovah. It's like what they do with it once it gets out of my hand is between them and Jehovah. What I do with it is between me and Jehovah. Just like the Shemitah, just like the Jubilee, just like, okay, there's some folks that work in the system. They work in the system, but the system is eventually going to catch up with them. They may think they're getting away with something for a minute, but eventually it's going to catch up with them. And you look at Israel, Israel had hundreds of years before their rebellion as a nation caught up with them and caused them to end up in Babylon for 70 years, all because they wouldn't let the land rest. And it's like, okay, well, one generation come and go, and another generation come and go, and folks don't see that sometimes because they're not keeping his commands and working the land and understanding the seed time and the harvest time and making sure that things are operational, which require us to be on his schedule. You and I must be on his schedule because seed time and harvest, summer and winter is coming. And there are things that he's promised during these times, and we got to be on his schedule in his season at his appointed times. If we expect him to watch out for us and bless us. Or you could put your faith in government, and you could put your faith in your employment, and you could put your faith in your skills and your abilities and your own strength. He says, you shall not oppress one another, but you shall fear your God, for I am Jehovah your Elohim. Wherefore you shall do my statutes, keep my judgments and do them, and you shall dwell in the land, what? Safety. In the land in safety. And the land shall yield her fruit. You know, Father can say to the land, shut up. Don't produce nothing but thorns and thistles. Let them go out there and work by the sweat of their brow. We're going to let the sun beam down on them. We're going to withhold the rain and keep the rain from flowing. And next thing you know, what do you got? A drought. And you can go out there and do all your war dancing and your rain dancing and all the dancing you could, and speak to the north, south, east, and west and command. But if you're not obeying his commandments, then it's in vain. Now, of course, he's merciful. He's gracious. He's plenteous in mercy. And he may send a sprinkle or two to say, now understand something. I'm the one in charge here. It's best for you to obey me. Israel is like in the wilderness for 40 years, and Father still looked out for them. But they were in the wilderness for 40 years because they were hard-headed, stiff-necked, and disobedient. And as I was sharing with a brother yesterday, it's like, you know what? Joshua and Caleb had to suffer with these jokers. But I can imagine that the kind of oppression and suppression and issues that Joshua and Caleb dealt with and their family dealt with was probably not the same as a whole lot of other families dealt with. Even in the midst of all of this rebellion, there's favor. In the midst of poverty, there's wealth. There are those who will prosper and those who will not, based on their walk in obedience or disobedience thereof. Father, know how. Even with all of this doom and gloom that people are prophesying and running to the hills and, you know, homesteading off grid and all these kinds of things, it's like, you know what? If you obey the Almighty, whether you're in the city or in the country, Father got you. That's something. You go into a neighborhood and all the houses around the neighborhood is burnt down but one. And come to find out it's the only person in the neighborhood who feared the Lord. How does that happen? And I'm not messing with anybody. But brother, you talking about? No, I'm not talking about anybody. I'm just talking. Some people know what I'm talking about. Tornadoes sweep through the whole community and their house is standing. They walk outside and look and houses are folded and collapsed partially there. And folks are looking at that house, and it's like Noah and his family. Father know how to protect his people. But we just got to take our eyes off the naysayers and the people who don't know what they're talking about, trying to question you and your faith. And says, regardless to what they do, 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but no harm is coming nigh me. I'm not giving place to the enemy. I'm not going to allow your rebellion, your disrespect, and all those negative vibes and words that you want to send at me, because hey, I'm going to stand, and when I know, you know, and have done everything I know to do to stand, I'm going to keep standing, and you can lobby whatever threats you want to lobby. You can send whatever fear. This way, he hasn't given me fear, so it's just going to, you know, like water off of a duck's back. Then I will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. Now think about this. It's like, Father, how you know, year after year, you bring enough food for the year. But during the Jubilee, the 49th and the 50th year, in the 48th year, you're going to give enough food. This little plot of land that you're giving me is going to produce enough to sustain me for 3 years. And you shall sow the eighth year and eat yet of old fruit until the ninth year. Until the fruits come in, ye shall eat of the old store. It's like, wow. Shemitah, land rest. Jubilee, land rest. But the year before, it's like, man, it's like, what are we going to do with all this food? The land is going to produce. And then on top of the land producing for 3 years, which is like, you know, I can take it to market. I can sell it. I've got resources. I've got this. And then the land is still feeding me. You see? The land is still feeding me. Feed me, feed my family, feed my servants. And what he's saying is that, listen, you ain't losing nothing, because if you do what I'm saying, what I'm telling you to do, he is providing for the next 2 years you ain't working. It's like he's a stimulus check. Like Father said, hey, now you know this is, we got Shemitah coming up, and then we're approaching the year of Jubilee. So, you know, as a good steward, you are going to have to take, you know, what I'm giving you, and you're going to have to spread it out over these years until the land gets back into its reproduction cycle, which means that you have to be a good steward. You have to be a good manager. And the nice thing about this is that he's showing his hand up front. You see, he's providing enough before you even get into the year where the land is not going to produce. Why wouldn't we trust him? As there were strangers and sojourners with Israel, Israel was strangers and sojourners with Jehovah, and I need to bring this to a close. The land shall not be sold forever. Why? For the land is mine. And notice what he said. And we dealt with this last week, but we didn't deal with this verse. Israel was a gear. He says, the land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine, for you are strangers and sojourners with me. So he's saying the land that I'm giving you, the stranger and the sojourner can dwell with you, and there's one law for y'all, but y'all are strangers and sojourners with me. See this? And the stranger is what? A ger, a temporary inhabitant. The sojourner, tashab, a stranger, a foreigner. And so, in closing, this portion, the lesson on Shemitah and Jubilee, teaches us that the land and the people belong to Yehovah. The seventh year, the land had to rest. The 50th year, it had to rest. The 50th year, it had to revert back to the original steward family. And, you know, finally, governments, you know, and those of us who have a house and live on the property, we have to pay taxes to the government. Why? Because the government has laid claim to Jehovah's land. Now, people will say, well, yeah, well, but we're paying for services. We're paying for city sewage and water and you know, the paved streets and all of that, and jails and police and law enforcement and firefighters and all of these kinds of things. And so that is true. But the land don't belong to us, and they ain't paying God no tithe. The government ain't tithing. And they've usurped, hijacked Jehovah's land. So the governments have set themselves up as owners of land within their boundaries and make people pay taxes on the land, and basically they've become God. So we'll pick up here next week, Father willing, and we'll hopefully complete the year of Jubilee. Father in heaven, we thank you again for our time tonight. We pray again that you reveal to us the thing that you will have us to glean from this teaching and show us how to implement and incorporate them in our lives. In Messiah's name, to your glory. Amen. Questions? Statements, comments.
Yes, we have a question from Eric. Shalom, Apostle Bailey.
Shalom.
Thank you for the teaching. Is the seventh year release applied to debts owed on day one of the year, every day of the year, or just before the year's end? From the scripture, it sounds like any loans placed after tabernacles wouldn't need releasing.
Yeah. So we just, because of the Feast of Tabernacle, we celebrated it. And after, as tabernacle is the time when the debt is released, the next time we are required to release debt is in 2029 at tabernacle. So if somebody came and borrowed money from me today, then the time of releasing that debt would be the Shemitah tabernacle in 2029.
We have a question from Luis and Julie. We have a question from Luis and Julie.
Okay.
If you make your living as a farmer, is there tithing and first fruits when there is no harvest during a Shemitah year?
Well, in essence, when you think about it, that and if Father is giving you enough for 3 years, then your tithe and your giving in that sixth year for Shemitah is going to double. If that be the case, if you're actually operating by that. If it's the year of Jubilee, then it's going to triple. Why? Because of the increase that is going to carry you over those years. So if you give annually, then you would be giving up front, if that's the way you were operating. Because the fact of the matter is that individuals still had to come up. During the Shemitah year, individuals 3 times a year had to come up, and they weren't to come up empty. During the Jubilee, they still had to come up 3 times a year, and they were not to come up empty. Well, what would they have with them when they come for first fruits? If the land is not producing, But the fact of the matter is that Father has already gave them 3 years of blessings, 3 years of harvest, 3 years of produce. And if they are selling it, now, of course, and carrying the money up or whatever the case may be, however they do it, the fact of the matter, if you got to ask yourself, during that time, do I go up to the feast empty-handed? Then what am I going to have? See, this is where your stewardship and your planning comes in. Any other question? I anticipated those two questions. Yeah. All right. Well, if we don't have any more questions, then we're going to give you opportunity to give. Now, these teachings, Shemitah and the third year tithe, I encourage people, buy one tonight, we'll send you the other one free. And all you have to do is you can either go on the website and purchase one, and any purchase that you make, whether it be the third year tithe or the Shemitah, we will send you the other one, and we will pay the shipping for that. If you shipping for the second one. First one, you pay the shipping. Okay? So those are available. Again, these teachings are on our website. You can go and watch them. But if you're afraid that one day the internet is going to get taken away from you, the government is going to shut it down, you'll have a hard copy that you could play over and over and over. Amen. Father, we just thank you for this time of giving. We pray your blessings upon each gift, upon each person, each family that give. And we ask, Father, that your continual blessing be outpoured upon them. Open the windows of heaven. Pour out blessings so much so they have not enough room to receive them all. Bless them that they may be a blessing. And we, again, decree none to lack as a result of their giving. Father, we know that you prove yourself. And even in these instructions, you prove yourself ahead of time. And you've shown us over and over and over that you have been there for us, fighting for us, providing for us, even when we didn't recognize it. And now that we see it, how much the more? We trust you and we bless you. And we thank you for making us stewards. Help us to be good and faithful stewards all the days of our lives, in Yeshua's name. Amen. So for those of you who are joining us online, you can go to the website there, arthurbaileyministries.com. On our website, you can contribute. And of course, on the website, it also show you ways that you can give. If you go, let's see if I can. There we go. If you go to the donate button on the website, it'll take you to this particular page. And on that, oops, not that page. Go back. It'll take you to this page. If you're in Canada, you can give through the Canadian donation link. And ways that you can give in any of these other areas is you can give through bill pay. You can set that up through a bank or credit union. You can use Zelle, Cash App, Venmo, and those are the code numbers or information you would need to use those. You can send checks or money orders to our P.O. Box, 1182 Fort Mill, South Carolina box, or you can give online. And, of course, those first five ways that I shared with you, they're all fee-free. In other words, 100% of your contribution comes to the ministry. And so whatever you give and however you give, we certainly appreciate your support. If there are no other questions, all right, pardon? Okay. All right. Well, we're gonna bring our time to a close, and so I just want to release his blessings and receive Jehovah's blessings on your life and in your life. Jehovah bless you and keep you. Jehovah calls his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Jehovah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, thank you again for joining in with us. Remember, we can't do what we do without you. Your prayers and your support is greatly needed and appreciated. Tomorrow at 8 p.m., we will be premiering our Sabbath premiere video. And then on Sabbath at 11 a.m., we're going to be back here for our holy convocation. You're welcome to attend, and we certainly look forward to seeing you. Amen. All right. Well, until next time, shalom, saints. Shalom, saints. Tithing and giving first fruit offerings are critical parts of the believer's faith and has its foundation back in Genesis 4:4, when Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And Jehovah had respect unto Abel.